Well, let's talk about some of the major campaigns that the Tribune led. As I throw them out to you, you will have more background to them. The paper led the state fight for reapportionment, which was very crucial to urban areas getting equality. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Well, Oklahoma never did reapportion according to the Constitution. And my dad filed suit in 1941 against the legislature. The Supreme Court said the legislature was in violation of the Constitution, but it assumed the legislature would see the error of its ways and correct them, which, of course, the legislature didn't. 1961, he filed suit again, and again the Supreme Court said that the legislature was in violation, but that the court couldn't do anything about it, at which point I wrote a story pointing out that the Supreme Court was malapportioned, that the six justices who voted against reapportionment represented only 39% of the population, and the three justices who supported reapportionment represented 61% of the population. Oklahoma was so badly apportioned that some of the Senate districts had 10 times or more citizens in them than other districts. The House apportionment was also wacky because any county, no matter what size it had, and Cimarron County was about 4,000 then, could have a state representative, where the two big counties were limited to seven. So the two major urban counties, Tulsa and Oklahoma, had 14 out of 121 members of the House and had two members of the Senate out of 44 between them. And where you have the votes, you get the money. So all the money in the state was going into rural roads and rural things, and the highways that served Tulsa particularly were dreadful. I mean, for so many years, all that transport had to go down the narrow, twisting two-lane Highway 66 between Tulsa and Oklahoma City. It was basically about a 3 to 4 hour drive. The roads north to Bartlesville and southeast to Muskogee and just about anywhere you wanted to go out of Tulsa, the roads were terrible. When reapportionment came in, and that came as a result of a three-judge federal court ruling in 1962, later reaffirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, all of a sudden, then Tulsa got equal representation, and so did Oklahoma City and other urban areas. What did it mean? First of all, it meant a lot more state representatives and senators. It opened representation to blacks. There had only been one black in the legislature up until that point, and that was in 1908. It opened it to women, because there had been only one woman state senator between the 1920s and 1974. It brought money into areas which were much more representative of youth than the smaller counties, which were generally much older in population. At the time of reapportionment, Tulsa did not offer a single hour of state-supported higher education. Now there are seven state colleges of one form or another in Tulsa County or immediately next to Tulsa County, plus Rogers State at Claremore. So there's just an enormous difference in that alone. The roads are better. The cities have been getting the kind of financing they deserve for so long. Reapportionment was the most important single factor in Oklahoma history, and it was the Tribune who led the fight for that. It made a lot of enemies, as you can imagine, in rural areas.
So that was a decision by your father to lead that fight.
Yeah, but my grandfather very much supported it, too.
Yeah. The paper also pushed for central purchasing, which has saved the state and other agencies a great savings.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars, at least. That was one of the reforms that Howard Edmondson brought in, and Howard was the first governor from Tulsa and the first real reform governor in state history, a Democrat elected in 1958. He also brought in the fight to get rid of prohibition, which was one of the most hypocritical things because it sponsored so much lawlessness. We strongly supported that, and that was an interesting coalition you ran against because you ran against a combination of churches and bootleggers who worked closely together under the table to try and defeat anything that would get rid of prohibition.
Edmondson was in office what years?
59 to 63.
And it produced such people like Cleo Epps?
Yeah, the bootleggers you had, Cadillac Jack Edwards and Cleo Epps, all sorts of...
Big Al McDonald.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of those people were robbers and killers on top of being bootleggers. Your average pint pincher wasn't a major problem, but we had real criminal elements. And we'll speak of Nolan Bullock later, but I remember the time that we got word that the sheriff up at Jay would take money to allow the bootleggers to run liquor through his county. Once you could get inside the border county, you were pretty safe in moving your cargo around. So Nolan, who could talk like George Raft, the famous movie actor, got on the phone and talking out of the side of his mouth, he made a deal with the sheriff as how much money they would give the sheriff to run liquor through the county. Of course, we had other reporters listening in on other lines. They made a deal. The sheriff wanted so much and so on. Then we printed the story. And the sheriff barely got out of town ahead of the vigilantes.
So that would have been in the 50s?
In the 50s. Yeah. And the sequel to that is years later, Nolan was up in Delaware County doing a story, and he was about out of gas, and he pulled into a gas station. And the guy who comes out to service him is the ex-sheriff. And the sheriff looks at Nolan, and Nolan looks at the sheriff, and Nolan drives out of there as fast as he can, with the sheriff jumping in a car and chasing him through the hills, and Nolan didn't stop until he pulled up on the courthouse lawn at Jay, where the new sheriff was a personal friend and could protect him and escort him out of town.
Wow, that's a great story. We can wrap this by saying that Prohibition actually produced criminals beyond bootlegging.
Oh, sure. It
made them go into other forms of lawlessness.
Yeah, just like bootlegging in the Capone era and New York and so on spread on into drugs and numbers rackets and all sorts of other things. Anytime there's a lot of illegal money floating around, it's going to find some place to go.
Where would the liquor come in from?
A lot of it came through Arkansas. Kansas was a dry state. Missouri had a lot of liquor outlets, although Missouri had dry Sundays. They couldn't sell liquor in Missouri on a Sunday. I think Texas might have had a local option. So a lot of the states around here were not particularly wet states, but I know a lot of it came in through Arkansas, through those porous eastern counties. There was one time, I believe it was in Stillwell, there was so much money in being a rural sheriff if you wanted to be crooked. Not all were, but if you wanted to be crooked, there was a lot of money, particularly in a border county. And the sheriff in Stillwell was in a primary against his chief deputy. And I think the chief deputy won the primary, but the next day they met in the courthouse and they went after their guns and it was a dead heat, literally. So then they had to have a new sheriff. But that one, we got calls from the newspapers in London about that one. The Wild West exists.
I have interviewed Buddy Fallis, former district attorney. And
good friend.
We talk about all these characters that he prosecuted back in those days. The paper supported the merit system laws that took patronage away from the state senate.
Yeah, you know, state senators, particularly like the prisons of McAllister and so on, they had yay or nay on whether hundreds of people got jobs. And, of course, if you wanted a state job, you'd have to have a kickback, in most cases, to your state senator, or you'd have to contribute to the flower fund, as they called it, for his reelection, or you'd have to go out and knock doors for him, something like that. So it was a highly inefficient system, which not only cost the state a lot of money, but often got it poor-performing employees. Whereas the merit system took the power away from the state senators. People had to pass tests. The ones that were the most meritorious were the ones that got the jobs. And it was a bitter pill with the state senate. It took away much of their political power. All of a sudden, you didn't have this legion of workers who would go out and ensure that you'd win the next election.
Raise money for you, all that.